The Gemara says, Kosha Atika Michadeta. Kosha Atika. Atik. It's related, I believe, to the Latin word antique. Something which is old. Kosha Atika Michadeta. It is more difficult to learn something which is old to you than Michadeta. Than something which is new. There are probably a lot of reasons why it's difficult to learn something which is old. The obvious reason is that, well, I know it, I feel I understand it, and it very well might be that you don't understand it, but the grain of the mind runs in such lines that something which is old, you don't want to approach with a strong motivation, with an energy, with a freshness. There is a topic which is very, very old. It's very old. It's bandied about. It's very difficult to discuss this topic. It's very difficult to learn about this topic. But because of its extreme significance, we have to try. And we have to try and learn it with a freshness, with a sensitive ears because of its significance. The topic is the Hebrew word das. Das. Just for discussion's sake at the beginning, before we put it perhaps in its sharp perspective, call it intelligence, call it wisdom, call it knowledge, some form of knowledge, das. The Torah, the Chazal, have some peculiar things to say about das, about wisdom. And there are some peculiar psukim sentences about wisdom that I'd like to attempt just somewhat to discuss them. We'll start off with the pasuk in Mishlei in Kapitel Chavdalet. Ubedas chadorim yimlo. With das, ubedas, chadorim yimlo. With das, with intelligence, you can fill rooms. Kol hoin, you can fill the rooms with all kinds of riches. Yoka, with all kinds of valuable objects. Vinoyim. And all sorts of pleasant things. Listen to a pasuk in Mishlei. Ubedas chadorim yimlo. You can fill a room with knowledge. Kol hoin. And with intelligence you can fill a room. Yoka. With expensive and precious items. Noyim. And with pleasant and sweet items. What is this pasuk talking about? Mishlei is a sefer that safer of Musa, of enlightenment, of chastisement, of speaking to a person, trying to enlighten a person. What does this, here the pasuk speaks about das, about wisdom, and it's so mysterious, so cryptic. You could fill a room with wisdom, with precious items. How does wisdom turn into precious items? How does a room become filled with wisdom? Try and understand that sentence. Then you come to the Gemara. There's a very peculiar Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara speaks about the virtues of wisdom. Das! The Gemara says, Gedoilo Deya. Das is so godel, so significant, shenitno ben shtei oisius. that the word das, the word for intelligence, the word for knowledge, the word for wisdom, is placed in the pasuk bein shtei oisiyos between the two names of the Ribbono Shel Olam, Keil Deis Hashem. The Gemara says, behold, take note. You want to know how to relate to wisdom, to intelligence? So the Gemara says, oh, it's so significant, it's so important, that in the pasuk, the word das is placed between two names of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now, what does that mean? If you want, you'll tell me, oh, yes, listen, it's put in such a prominent place. It's put in such a prominent place, it must be important. But I don't think that that exhausts the meaning of the Gemara. I don't think that that's just what the Gemara means, because it's placed between two names of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's in such a prominent place. I don't think the Gemara is talking about prominence. If it's not talking about prominence, what is it talking about? In Pirkei Avos it says, "Ba'asora ma'amoris nivra ha'olam." This cosmos and all that's in it was created in an evolutionary process, not the evolution of Darwin, a different evolution. And it went through 10 times. In Chumash it says, "Vayoyma." And he spoke and he said, so the Mishnah asks a very logical question. The Ribbono Shel Olam is a kol yachol. Of what significance is it that he created a world with 10 dictums, with speaking 10 times? The world could have been created with one vayoyma. The Ribbono Shel Olam said, let there be a cosmos, and there it is. Shazam. Bar asks a very good question, a very courageous question. What is the significance of a 10 times vayoyma? Mishnah and Avos gives a peculiar answer, which we have to understand. Liporam in a rishoyim, to inflict punishment upon the wicked, that the machrev of world which was created with 10 times by Yoyma, v'litnschal et tzadikim, and to give recompense and reward to the righteous, shemekainenis ha'olam, shenivra basara mamoris. The question is fantastic. The answer, I don't understand. In Chumash it says 10 times by Yoyma. So the Chazal teaches that the world was created in a process, in a mysterious process where the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world with 10 dictums. We don't know what type of articulation it was. We don't know what it means. But it says 10 times by Yoyma, and this was the process of cosmic creation. So the Chachamim, in their courage of Kedusha, The Chachamim ask, why did the Ribbono Shel Olam have to do it in 10 times? He can do it in 1 time. He could economize. The question is strong. The question is logical. The question is honest. The question is courageous. And the Torah encourages questions. And what's the answer? Well, it was said in 10 times in order to punish the wicked that they destroy a world which was created in 10 steps. It was so intricate. And to give reward to the tzaddikim that they sustain and give and they give strength to a world which was created in 10 dictums. So what does that mean? We mentioned this Chazal a number of times. The Maral in Prague, in Pirkei Avos, in the Achaim, explains it. A shaft of light into a dark world. I would say that 90% of our worldview is chaotic. The Maharal says that the 10 times that the Rabbanu Shel Olam created the world with the word Vayoma, and the reason why he didn't say it in one time was to teach us that the cosmos is a cosmos of order and symmetry. To enlighten us that there isn't randomness and casualness in the world. The phenomena of nature is not incidental, but there's an order. A mysterious, phenomenal order in the world. Do we know that there's an order in the world? You know, if we knew and were conscious of the problems that exist around us, our mentality couldn't survive it, it would break down. You know, in the 60s, the young people brought to our attention that there's an ecological problem. You know, well, all right, you know, yeah, we talk about the ecology. To me, I shrugged it off, you know, youthful idealism's a hacking at China, you know, what, well, you know, kid. What are they talking about? I discarded it. Then I began to read what's going on. A company pours poison into the ground and keeps it in storage in the ground, and it seeps into the water in Niagara Falls. And poison, and people get sick, and Manal Islam, people die. The whole balance of nature is destroyed for hundreds of miles around. This is not an isolated incident. And you begin to see, you begin to read what's going on. You laugh at me. Years ago, there used to be a good herring. So I asked my friend, Mr. Brescher, who's in the fish business, what happened to the good herrings? He says, there are no more good herrings. What happened to the good herrings? They depleted the oceans. You know, you have organizations, Save the Whale. I wanted to start an organization, Save the Herring. But the oceans are depleted. So we're busy with our daily things, and we don't think about it. So you begin to read about the depletion, the procedure. There are ways to allow the fish to hatch and to recapitulate the abundance of fish in the sea. But people are evil and greedy. They don't want to let them do that. Now I can make an instant profit. I don't care. There is a mean short-sightedness that doesn't recognize the chain of nature. You can go on and on and on and on and on. There's researchers in every area. In every natural, biological area, there are things. What is this? This is an evil that fails to recognize that there's a Seder in the breed. The Tanna said that the Torah wrote 10 times Vayoma to teach Klal Yisrael that you should know there's a Seder and there's an order in the Bria. There's an order. And it's not just an ecological order that one must respect. And in the life of a human being, there's a Meridic order. There has to be an order. The end of the Bechira, the end of Bechira is, the end, the goal of Bechira is to bring symmetry. Kindness. Everybody will say, oh, kindness is the greatest thing in the world, to be kind. I wish I could be kinder, kind, kind, kind. No, but we learn in the Gemara, Kol anase rachman ala hachzari, soifili yais achzar ala rachman. The Gemara says, you're indiscriminately kind, and you're kind to a sadist or to a wicked person. The end is, you're going to be wicked to a kind person. Everything is order and how much and when. How much and when? Everybody wants to be good to a child. No one wants to punish a child physically, corporeally, to hit a child. Oh, the Gemara says in Marcus, 2,000 years ago it was recorded. You must sometimes hit a child. I've seen in my experience as a teacher, I've seen children that weren't hit. Animals. I don't say you should hit. I'm not coming here to say to push hitting the children. But a child which is not taught, with a child where some, I don't want to use that ugly word, fear. You know, I don't mean fear, the sick fear, but where a child is Kol mash oila al rucha, he does. I want to do this. I want to do that. Where he's not taught to see consequences of his behavior, you're raising I don't know what. And if you think I haven't seen such people in their 20s and in their 30s, carrying on tantrums when they're married and having children. Because mommy and daddy never stopped him. And if his wife dares to stop him, she's not a good wife. And my life's some rough, you know. The whole Torah is to achieve a symmetry and a balance. The Rasha in his evil, the morale says, is taught. What do you think evil is? Oh, they're going to write you down in a book and they're going to turn the heat up when you get up there. You don't know what it is. Evil is you're breaking and ruining the symmetry of a world which, in order to function, must be symmetrical. There has to be balance. A fellow told me this week, a kid fell off a fence in Borough Park. Shabbos. Baruch Hashem, nothing too bad happened to him. But the kid, you know, fell off the fence and hit its head. It was lost consciousness for a while and was Shabbos. So it was near the Ger Shtibel. So a young man runs out with payas down till here, throws off his talus. And a taxi was passing by, takes the kid and runs into a taxi, takes the kid to the hospital. What you have to do? So another guy goes over, you know, young religious, oh, it's Shabbos. It's not too bad. That's imbalance. The halacha says that when it comes to a question of sakona, of danger, of health, to a person, to a child especially, not the small Talmud Chacham has to be Machal Shabbos, but you need, the Chil Shabbos has to be from the biggest Talmud Chachamim, perhaps to impress that life, the Chaybehem, supersedes Shabbos. Shabbos is everything. But in the time of Sakana, the balance goes that way. The symmetry is not frozen and stagnant. There's a fluidity. Here's the secret. The symmetry is fluid. It's flexible, it's moving. Today you have to be kind, and the next minute you have to be cruel. Now you have to laugh, and now is the time to cry. And all this is an order and balance. How do you come to that order and balance? there's a little machine in a person which is called Das. And the Gemara asks, how come Moitzi Shabbos, when you say the weekday Shemin Esrei, you make Abdullah, you say Atanachanantonu, you say Natachonel Adam Das, in that bracha you say it. So the Yerushalmi answers, Imein Das, Abdullah Menayin. If a person doesn't have Das, so he has no discretion. You're telling me to differentiate between Shabbos and the weekday. You're telling me to differentiate between the sacred and the profane in time, in the aspect of time. It must be in the bracha of Das, because the mechanism which teaches me discretion is Das. Listen. The Gemara says, Gidoyle Deya, this mechanism of Das, of intelligence, is so great that it was placed between the two names of the Rabban Shalom, Kael Deyas Hashem. What does it mean, a name of the Rabban Shalom? What does it mean when we call him a name? We say the Rabban Shalom's name, Hashem, the Rabban Shalom, his name. What kind of name? Ein Loi Guf, Ein Loi Tmuna, the Rabban Shalom's incorporeal. We cannot ascertain his substance. We can't apply the word substance to him. So what do you mean he has a name? What kind of names? So the Rishonim taught us the names means how he reveals himself in the cosmos, how he functions in the cosmos. We don't know him, but we see his hand. We see his works. Hashemayim misaprim kvod kel. You take a look at the sky, you know the Rabban Shalom created it. You see his creation. So we give that a name. Rachum, Vechanon, Erech Apayim. Kael, Hashem. In other words, the name is how he rules the universe and how he makes the universe function. So the Gemara says a fantastic thing. Intelligence, Das. Das is also an instrument, but in the human being, which is in a way similar to the Sheinus Hashem. Intelligence has the same function as the names that we give to the Rabban Shalom. Just as the names that we give to Rabban Shalom, we say he's a Rachum, the Chanun, the Chesed. How do we live? We deserve what we have. I don't believe that each one of us says that we deserve what we have. Baruch Hashem, we have everything. Our grandparents didn't have what we have. But the Rabban Shalom is a Baal Rachmim, he gives us. So we function through that mida, through that characteristic of Ramonis. So the Gemara says, Das is that instrument which makes a person function. One moment. In other words, you can say, you can paraphrase it and say, in other words, if you're using your Das, you're functioning. To the proportion, in proportion to how much Das you're using, that's how much you're functioning and giving meaning to your life. And in proportion how much Das you're not using, to that proportion, that's how empty and shallow your life is. 1 minute. I mentioned before that the symmetry of the world is fluid. It's moving. It's constant. There's motion. It's constantly moving, and a person must constantly decide. I don't think we have yet a computer that can add up the decisions that every ordinary human being must make from the time he opens up his eyes in the morning to the time he goes to sleep at night. Meaningful decisions. You wake up in the morning. Morning. I had a Rebbe. I told you. I had a Rebbe. I once said good morning to him. I shriveled up. I was amazed. The next day, my other Rebbe came in, so I was afraid to say good morning already. I was a young boy, so I didn't say good morning. So he called me over. He said, the Bachar will come over here. He says, why didn't you say good morning? So I was naive, so I said good morning to somebody, to one of the rabbis, and he growled at me. So I'm afraid to say good morning, maybe it's improper. the other person, the first person, who was a big person, but that was a shortcoming. He failed the test. He had problems on his mind. Numerous problems. But when a teenager, when a 15-year-old boy gets the courage to say good morning to you, and you don't answer him properly, you are asymmetrical. Because that good morning is significant. A good morning is very significant. You think a good morning is not significant? I've seen people that know how to say good morning that warms every limb in your body. We think we know everything, eh? Rabbi Aryeh Levin, Zechon Levacha, you know, the Ish Tzadik Haya from Yerushalayim, I met him once and I gave him Shalom Aleichem. Listen, I've given a lot of people and big people Shalom Aleichem. No one gave me Shalom Aleichem like Rabbi Aryeh Levin gave Shalom Aleichem. He was a genius. He took my hand, he took it with both hands. So a lot of people took both hands. I felt, I don't know, I thought I touched some type of electricity. I didn't know what it was. A warmth overtook me, and it was in a crowded room. It was by Yankel's chasen. I didn't know what it was. Immediately I walked away. I said, this man is special. Something is here funny for Shalom Aleichem. We, in a day, in one day, but we fail to realize it. In one day we have, I'm not talking only about Shalom Aleichem. Everybody has responsibilities. But if we have to say to ourselves, in a moment of truth, are we facing the responsibilities with das, with symmetry? I hate to look at myself. Children. One of the most complex situations in the world is a child. Go understand the child. I read the books on children, I buy the books on children, and I love to read it, and I'm appreciative of any ounce of enlightenment I can get about what a child is. You know your child? Complex. Moody. Da veinte, da lachte. It's here, it's screaming, and there it's playing, and here it's quality. It's like a stormy sea. Go deal with a child. But there are ways to deal. And in a husband and wife relationship, perhaps it's more complex. The Gemara says, G'day l'daya, this mechanism of das, of intelligence, is so great that it was placed between the two names of the Rabban Shalom, Kael Deyas Hashem. What does it mean, a name of the Rabban Shalom? What does it mean when we call him a name? We say the Rabban Shalom's name, Hashem, the Rabban Shalom, his name. What kind of name? Ein loy guf, ein loy tmuna. The Rabban Shalom's incorporeal. We cannot ascertain his substance. We can't apply the word substance to him. So what do you mean he has a name? What kind of names? So, the Rishonim taught us, the names means how he reveals himself in the cosmos, how he functions in the cosmos. We don't know him, but we see his hand. We see his works. Hashemayim misaprim kvod kel. You take a look at the sky, you know the Rabban Shalom created it. You see his creation. So we give that a name, Rachum, Vechanon, Erech Apayim. Kel, Hashem. In other words, the name is how he rules the universe and how he makes the universe function. So the Gemara says a fantastic thing. Intelligence, das. Das is also an instrument, but in the human being, which is in a way similar to the Shemus Hashem. Intelligence has the same function as the names that we give to the Rabban Shalom. Just as the names that we give to Rabban Shalom, we say he's a Rachum, the Chanun, the Chesed. How do we live? We deserve what we have. I don't believe that each one of us says that we deserve what we have. Baruch Hashem, we have everything. Our grandparents didn't have what we have. But the Rabban Shalom is a Baal Rachmim, he gives us. So we function through that mida, through that characteristic of Ramonis. So the Gemara says, das is that instrument which makes a person function. One moment. In other words, you can say, you can paraphrase it and say, in other words, if you're using your das, you're functioning. To the proportion, in proportion to how much das you're using, that's how much you're functioning and giving meaning to your life. And in proportion how much das you're not using, to that proportion, that's how empty and shallow your life is. 1 minute. I mentioned before that the symmetry of the world is fluid. It's moving. It's constant. There's motion. It's constantly moving, and a person must constantly decide. I don't think we have yet a computer that can add up the decisions that every ordinary human being must make from the time he opens up his eyes in the morning to the time he goes to sleep at night. Meaningful decisions. You wake up in the morning. Good morning. I had a Rebbe. I told you. I had a Rebbe. I once said good morning to him. I shriveled up. I was amazed. The next day, my other Rebbe came in, so I was afraid to say good morning to Rebbe. I was a young boy. So I didn't say good morning. She called me over. She said, Bacharel, come over here. She says, why didn't you say good morning? So I was naive. So I told him, I said good morning to somebody, to one of the rabbis, and he growled at me. So I'm afraid to say good morning. Maybe it's improper. The other person, the first person, who was a big person, but that was a shortcoming. He failed the test. He had problems on his mind. Numerous problems. But when a teenager, when a 15-year-old boy gets the courage to say good morning to you, and you don't answer him properly, you are asymmetrical. Because that good morning is significant. A good morning is very significant. You think a good morning is not significant? I've seen people that know how to say good morning that warms every limb in your body. We think we know everything, eh? Rabbi Aryeh Levin, Zechon Levacha, you know, the Ish Tzadik Haya from Yerushalayim, I met him once and I gave him Shalom Aleichem. Listen, I've given a lot of people and big people Shalom Aleichem. No one gave me Shalom Aleichem like Rabbi Aryeh Levin gave Shalom. I don't know, he was a genius. He took my hand, he took it with both hands. So a lot of people took both hands. I felt, I don't know, I thought I touched some type of electricity. I didn't know what it was. A warmth overtook me, and it was in a crowded room. It was by Yankel's chassan. I didn't know what it was. Immediately, I walked away. I said, this man is special. Something is here funny for Shalom Aleichem. We, in a day, in one day, but we fail to realize it. In one day, we have, I'm not talking only about Shalom Aleichem. Everybody has responsibilities. But if we have to say to ourselves, in a moment of truth, are we facing the responsibilities with das, with symmetry? I hate to look at myself. Children. One of the most complex situations in the world is a child. Go understand the child. I read the books on children, I buy the books on children, and I love to read it, and I'm appreciative of any ounce of enlightenment I can get about what a child is. You know your child? Complex. Moody. Da veinte, da lachte. It's here, it's screaming, and there it's playing, and here it's quality. It's like a stormy sea. Go deal with a child. But there are ways to deal. And in a husband and wife relationship, perhaps it's more complex. So Shloime HaMelech says in Mishlei, a phenomenal posik. A room is empty. He says, Ubedas Hadorim Yimlo. He says, if the mechanism of intelligence is alert and sensitive and there's a force behind it that yearns to be intelligent and to be enlightened, wherever you will turn, you will see it's filled with responsibilities of what to do. Kol hoin, with precious things. I sat today with a person. I did him a favor. I learned with him. I worked with him hard. Gets up and walks away. Okay. I said to myself, a youngster, 15 years old, walks away. No, thank you. I said to myself, there's a gaping hole in his personality. Fine home, upper middle class, well-dressed, well-fed, well-housed. You sit, you see, I'm doing you a favor, and I'm working with you, not just, you know, sitting, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm picking you up out of the depths of your ignorance, and you become enlightened. You weren't taught to say thank you, to be appreciative. It's not his fault. Because at home, no one, and the wonderful people, their intelligence didn't see that aspect of existence, that has to be done. That's a task. That's a task, to teach someone to say thank you. And I don't mean etiquette. Etiquette is shekel the kozov, an hypocrisy. But I mean genuine, authentic feelings. You get up, you sit an hour with a person. I don't get paid. And if you pay the person $100 an hour, still the person helped you. The person exerted himself. He enlightened you. He took you out of the depths of not knowing. He showed you can know. Where's the thank you? I don't need his thank you. Because there, they didn't see that. Where you turn. Ubedas chadorim yimlo, with das, if a person, the person who's mispalel atachoynul adam das, the person who wants to live with intelligence, who wants to live with intelligence? We're afraid to live with intelligence. We take so much, okay. Give me another little layer. But a person should abandon himself and commit himself to live in every aspect of his life with intelligence. We're afraid I'll get a nervous breakdown if I live intelligently. Ubedas chadorim yimlo. A fantastic pasuk. Kol hoin yoka v'noyim. He says, if you strive to live with intelligence, wherever your gaze will fall, you'll have something significant to do, and you will bring sweetness into your life, pleasantness into your life, symmetry into your life. It's a big task. People, you know, it's a challenge. Otherwise, I'm not saying it's easy. And all I'm trying to explain and lead up to the significance of the bracha of Atachon Eladim Das. To the proportion that we don't use our Das, there's chaos in our lives. I remember an incident. My Rabbi Zecharei Levracha told me, on one of the trips he went there to Yisrael, so he was in Bnei Brak. He's riding in the car. So going back from Bnei Brak to Yerushalayim, one of the big Talmidei Chacham of Bnei Brak, he had a son that was 9 years old that had to go to Yerushalayim. So he asked my Rebbe, is it possible for him to go in the car with you? Yeah. They get into the car. Those days, goes back. They didn't have the quick roads. It probably took an hour and a half, an hour and three quarters to go from Bnei Brak to Yerushalayim. So the little boy had an orange with him. The boy ate the orange and took off the peels and had it in a bag and placed it on his lap, and he was holding it, or it was a napkin. The Rosh Yeshiva noticed that the boy's holding purposefully the shells on his lap. So he says to him, why don't you throw it out of the window? The boy says, what? You could be a mazik. Somebody could slip on it. The little kid from the cheder there in Bnei Brak, you know, that's the hotbed of the zealots. It's like, I can't put a throat. So he sat, he noticed it was an awkward position, holding the orange peel on his hand, on his lap. And he told, I can't get out the window. Little kid already knew. I have to tell you what goes on throwing something out of the window. You just you ride the streets of New York. I'm embarrassed to go. I go over sometimes the 60th Street Bridge from Queens to Manhattan. So on the side of the bridge, there were mountains of garbage. New York. What is it? It's a lack of das. The Torah wants that in the fluidity of life, in every aspect, wherever the intellectual gaze falls, it should be with that. Then you'll see what responsibility. This little boy already was a shtickel of prince. He learned nobility already. He was a little nobleman already. It's a nobility today. You don't throw out of the window. And teaching the child that, and that little, that's an aspect of life. Reb Simcha Zisel Kelema, to carry it, what seems to us to be an extreme. Reb Simcha Zisel Kelema was the Rosh Yeshiva in Kelem. And in the yeshiva there was a shamus. I don't know if many of you know what a shamus is. A sexton, he took care of the menial things in shul. And part of his salary was he had a goat. And next to the yeshiva, there was a plot of ground with grass, and the goat could feed over there on the grass. That was part of his salary. So Reb Simcha Zisel happened to pass by, and he happened to step over the grass. And they noticed that Reb Simcha Zisel Ben Dana was inspecting his boot, and he was taking something, some blades of grass, out of his boots and throwing it back on the ground. They knew it's something of significance. They asked him, Rebbe, what are you doing, Rebbe? He says, well, the grass belongs to the shamus, and it's food for the goat. He says, I might have taken away a little bit of grass I caught on my boots. It was high grass. So he's put it back. So you look at it, you say, come on. That's carrying it too far. Yes, it might be for us carrying it too far. It might be for us carrying it too far. But for the great man that he was, and for the type of functioning of das that he had in his worldview, he responded to that step on the grass. He filled it with a work of art. For him, for us, it would be cuckoo, because we're not on that level. For us, it would be cuckoo, because our soul is rent asunder with more serious problems than putting back three blades of grass. But for the big man, even there, he imbued greatness in stepping on the grass. That's the meaning of the pasuk. Ubedas hadorim yimlohu. There was a big gadol in Europe. A big rav came to visit Reb Chaim Briska in his summer vacation in Polonga by the sea. And he went. He asked, "Where is Reb Chaim Briska?" And they told him he's sitting in shul learning. And he came to shul and he saw Reb Chaim sitting in a corner. And he noticed that the shoemaker of the town, in Europe, a shoemaker was a lowly position, an ignorant people. That's the way it was. He saw Reb Chaim sitting with the shoemaker, and the shoemaker's, and Reb Chaim is bent, his head is bent over, and he's seriously listening. The shoemaker's talking in his ear, talking. But it's a half hour, an hour, 2 hours, he waited. The rav was fuming. Finally, the shoemaker left. So he went over to his rebbe. How do you allow yourself to be harangued by a shuster, by a shoemaker, you rebbe? Reb Chaim Briska said to him, what are you talking about? He has a broken heart. He has tragedies in his life. He says, you have to let him pour his heart out and listen to him attentively. I cannot explain to you, honestly, I don't know how much and how deep and how creative 2 hours of Torah learning meant to Reb Chaim Briska. But believe me, it was something extremely substantial and significant. But a broken heart, a person with a problem, a person has to cry, you have to lend an ear. I see people, their friends, their pals, they're wonderful. The other fellow wants to talk about a problem, I don't want to hear. Talk to me. Keep it gay, keep it pleasant. I don't want to hear any problems. I'm your friend, but your problems I don't want to listen to. That's the meaning of the pasuk. Ubedas chadorim yimlohu kol hoin yokav enoim. Reb Chaim Briska could take out of 2 hours of conversation and make diamonds and jewels because that at that moment his das responded to that aspect of life. And when he was through with him, he was back to his gemara. And when we're mispal, Rebbein Shalom Choneinu Mitcha Dayad Bina Mahaskal, we mean, Rebbein Shalom, show us where the jewels, show us where the richness of life is in our intelligence to respond to it. We think we are intelligent. We think, oh Yochum, that we're sophisticated. Woe is to us. And I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to myself. Woe is to us. We tread on the most precious things in the world because our intelligence doesn't want to gaze at it. There was a fight a few days between two boys in yeshiva. They insulted each other. The one boy said to me, he said to me this and this and this and this. I said, oh, that was mean, that was terrible. And he said that and that. And the boy that told me this is an intelligent person. I said to him, you know what the key to the problem is? It's because it was vis-a-vis. You let yourself down, you let yourself be hurt. You could have dissolved the whole anger had you said to him, you put his hand on the shoulder, listen here, friend, I didn't mean to hurt you. But you didn't have the humility to say that. You got up and start to rationalize and say this and say that. And he was aware that what you're telling him is baloney and bubamisis. So as you told him different excuses, the angrier he got. But had you got up and had used your das and said, I'm sorry, you can't say I'm sorry. Looks at me, he says, yes, it's hard for me to say I'm sorry. You know that there are people that can't say I'm sorry, I made a mistake. They will, in their minds, admit that they're wrong. They will not do what that wrong again. But to say, to have the humility to say, I'm sorry, they can't say it. How many people? The best of us. But when you say I'm sorry, when you have to say I'm sorry, you dissolve so much enmity, so much anger, so much hurt. So with one word, I'm sorry, you can fill a room with precious objects. That's the meaning of the das hadorim yimlol. The person who lives with das, the person who lives with das, wherever he turns, there's significance. Whatever he touches is gold. Ubedas hadorim yimlol. Like this, there are highlights to the day, highlights. But the Pasuk is saying no. The Pasuk is saying that every step of the day can become significant in proportion to the das, to the symmetry that you create.